1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is God's holy word. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, beloved, as we have been working our way through this rich passage indeed, in verse 4, we've come to that short statement, love is kind. Love is kind. And so the theme of the message tonight is kindness. And as soon as we hear that word, we would say, well, who would argue against it? Kindness. We even hear of many campaigns in our society today, encouraging things like random acts of kindness. Have you heard of that thing that they're encouraging people just to engage in random acts of kindness as a way to better our society and the places in which we live? Kindness, though, is not just something made up in human society. Kindness is a rich biblical theme. And far from just random acts of kindness, the Christian gospel is founded on and is marked by deliberate, consistent lives of kindness. The word that Paul uses here, that the Holy Spirit has Paul use here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, is a word that's only used here. It's a verb that's only used here, but it appears more commonly in the New Testament Greek scripture as two related nouns. And often those related nouns in the New Testament are translated to English as good or goodness. So we have to understand that kindness, being kind, good, and goodness often reflect the same word group in our New Testament. It's the word group in Greek that is revolves around the word krestos. Krestos. The great word biblical wordsmith, Archbishop Trench, said, this is a beautiful word. It's the expression of a beautiful grace. Krestos. And I only mention it in the Greek because even as you hear it now, you could probably hear it's only one letter different from Christos. Krestos, Christos. And Christos is the Greek word for Christ, Jesus Christ. Historically, that closeness between Krestos, kindness, and Christos, the Messiah, was picked up on by people. The church father Tertullian, who died around 220 AD, notes that Christotes, a related word, was so predominantly the character of Christ's ministry that Christos became Christos, and the Christiani became the Christiani. He was saying that Christ's life and ministry were so marked by kindness that when people thought of the Christos, they thought Christos. And the people who followed Christ, the Christiani, were known as people who were Christiani, the kind ones. And sometimes in writing outside of the Bible, Christians are not called Christianoi, they are called Christianoi. So much were the people of God marked by kindness that that's what people thought Christians were called, Christianoi, the kind ones. What a commendation of the early church in that regard, that people just thought that was their name, the kind ones. We read about this particularly in Tertullian's writings in his Apology, where he is defending the Christian faith. And in the third chapter of his Apology, he writes to those who made this confusion. He writes this way, "When you misname it Christian instead of Christian, for so far are you from understanding our religion that as yet you know not our true name, even then it implies nothing worse than a sweetness of temper. Thus outrageous are you at the sound of a name so inoffensive and harmless as those who bear it." What a thing for Christians and the name of Christ to be so closely associated with this word, which sounds so similar, the word for kindness. And that's what we're going to consider tonight, the call here to being kind. Love is kind. If our lives are dominated by Christian love, we are to be kind. And this, of course, is closely linked to what we considered this morning, isn't it? Serving others and doing good. But when we think of this word, it's doing good in a particular way, I think. It's serving others with a particular character. Because it's possible to do good, we could imagine, but to do a good thing in a way that is still harsh or cold or unfeeling. You know, you can give someone a cup of cold water, but you can do it in a way that's cold itself, with no kindness to it. You know, kindness, sometimes it's a word that may be hard to define, but we all know it when we see it or experience it, because we've all said to someone with what they've done or said, "That was kind." We know it when we see it. Kindness. Kindness is doing good gently. It's doing good in a kind way. Kindness in the scripture, the word is used in Matthew 11:30, when Jesus himself says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word translated easy is that word Christos. My yoke is kind. And so kindness has the sense of nothing harsh, nothing that grates. His yoke is easy. It fits. It's kind to us. The word is combined in Titus 3:4 with another Greek word, philanthropia, the love of people. Kindness is related to the love of people. It is opposed in Romans 11:22 to severity and sternness. Kindness. If you're interested, Mary Beakey, who's the wife of Dr. Beakey, who's going to be, Lord willing, the speaker at Silver Lake this year, has written a book recently. It's called The Law of Kindness. The Law of Kindness, where she explores the biblical teaching of kindness. And she has chapters about kindness addressed to wives and husbands and parents and teachers and children. How to be kind flowing out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last time we considered that love was patient. It endures and bears injuries. But it does more than that. It just doesn't patiently endure suffering and injury. Love also does something active. It is kind. And this is very much in line with what we considered this morning. Love compels us to do good, to engage in acts of kindness. Now, there are lots of ways to do good to someone, to show them kindness. It's not just the Boy Scout helping the old lady across the street. Maybe that's what we think of when we think of something kind that someone does. Now, that is a kindness. We should be helping people across the street if they need our help. But there are many more ways to show kindnesses to people. We can show kindness and do good to a person's soul in many ways. When we teach someone the things of the Lord, when we teach someone the scriptures, we are dealing kindly with them. That's an act of kindness. When we warn people according to the word of God, that's a kindness. When we try to live our lives in a way that's a good example for others, we are showing them a kindness. These are all kind things. When you invite someone to church, that's a kindness. When you seek to comfort others or encourage them or pray for them, these are all kindnesses that we show to others. But we can also be kind to a person's physical, material side of their lives. And we should note that this is usually a spiritual blessing as well to them. When we minister to someone's physical needs and show kindness to them in the physical realm, it is almost always a blessing to them spiritually as well. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25:35? When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. These are all particular expressions of kindness. Jonathan Edwards, in his book Charity and Its Fruits, which deals with this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, opens up the biblical teaching on kindness by asking some very basic questions about kindness. To whom are we to be kind? To whom are we to show kindness? He answers simply and very biblically, our neighbor. Our neighbor. And you know from Jesus' teaching that your neighbor is anyone who comes into your sphere of influence, who needs to be shown kindness. Your neighbor is everyone that you meet. And that includes our friends and our enemies. Wasn't that the point of the Good Samaritan? The Jews and the Samaritans were enemies, and yet he showed kindness. He was a neighbor. We are to show kindness both to our friends and to our enemies. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. So when someone wrongs you, you don't have the right to do wrong back. What are you to do back? Kindness. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Edwards says so simply, we are to do good both to the good and to the bad. Love is kind. It's Paul says in Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so the answer, to whom are we to be kind? To our neighbor, to all those around us. How are we to be kind? He mentions several things. We are to be kind freely. And by that, he means not having an eye toward return or reward. Not being kind with a view toward what we get out of it, but simply to be kind. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back, Luke 6:35. Jesus says in Luke 14, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We aren't to be kind to people because of what they will give back to us. We are simply to be kind because love is kind. We are to be kind freely. We are also to be kind cheerfully. It's sort of wrapped up into that word kindness. We are to do good with kindness, with gentleness, but with cheerfulness as well. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality. That's a kindness. It's a good thing to one another without grumbling. In public or private grumbling, outwardly or inwardly in our hearts, we are simply to do it out of kindness and love. Romans 12:8, if we show mercy, if we have that kind of kindness, let him do it cheerfully. Give generously and do so without a grudging heart, it says in Deuteronomy 15:10. Cheerful kindness. And we are to give, to show kindness liberally. Edwards reminds us, Deuteronomy 15:8, be open-handed and freely lend to whatever he needs. 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whatever sows generously will reap generously. Our kindness should not be stingy, but liberal. Well, why are we to be kind? What are some of the motivations for kindness? Well, primarily in Scripture, we see that love is kind, and Christians are to love in kindness because this is the way that God has treated us. This is the way that God has treated us. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. You might think, now who were those ungrateful and wicked people that God was so kind to? It's me. And you. That's who we are in sin. Ungrateful. Wicked people. And yet God was kind to you. He was kind to me. You know, He could have simply been just and condemned us in our sin. But in His mercy and grace, He was kind. Ephesians 2:7. Paul says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And Paul says in Titus 3:4, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. You see, that word kindness is a gospel word. It just comes again over and over again. When the writers of Scripture think of what God has done for sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is kind. He was kind to you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, it says in Ephesians 4:32, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We are to be kind because this is the way that God has treated us. We're also to be kind because it's an expression of the love of Christ. It's an expression of love to Christ. And this is what Jesus teaches again in that chapter in Matthew 25 when he speaks of acts of kindness to those around us and how he teaches us that when we are kind to the least of these, his brethren, we are showing kindness to Christ himself. And here we have the doctrine of union with Christ. That these people who are united to Christ, when we show kindness to them, it is a way of showing kindness to Jesus himself. The king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And you know how the righteous respond. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Now, if we could just keep that in front of our minds as we see those around us in the Church of Jesus Christ here and in the world, as we have opportunity in many ways to do good to those around the world. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you do it for him if he was here on the earth? Of course we would. We would walk over broken glass to show kindness to Jesus if he needed it, wouldn't we? And this is what he's saying. When you show kindness in these ways, it's as if you're doing it to him. What a great reason to be kind to those around us. But we also see in Scripture a reason in the royal law. If you keep the royal law, James 2:8, you are doing right. What is the royal law? Love your neighbor as yourself. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do you want people to be kind to you? Do you appreciate it when people are kind to you? Well, the lesson is, the call is, then be kind. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the Bible holds out, the Word of God holds out great benefits. Not that we do it for the benefits, but God pours out blessings and benefits on kindness. What are some of the benefits? One of them that we see in Scripture is a benefit that works upon people when God shows them kindness. It's to lead them to repentance. Romans 2:4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? You know, when we act the way that we do, and when we see that God still shows kindness to us in so many ways, it should bring repentance. We should say, how can I be acting this way? And God still is so good to me. It should bring us back. But you know, that kind of mechanism is very often at work in the human sphere as well, when we show kindness to others. It's no guarantee. We know that. Sometimes people go abusing kindness right to their grave. But very often God uses kindness to bring people to himself and to encourage repentance. What a motivation for us to show kindness. You know, in the life of the minister in Liverpool, whose name just escapes me right now, it was a friend of J.C. Ryle. That was really so much the key to his ministry, Richard Hobson. And people asked him, you know, how was that section of Liverpool transformed? What did you do? What's the secret of your ministry? Well, he said it was the Word of God, but then he just said, I was just kind to people. I just went around being kind to people. And people noticed it. And sometimes years later, people would come back and say, I need to repent. I need to come to church. I need to come back to the Lord. And he would say, why? He said, because I remember you were kind to my son 15 years ago when you did this for him. People remember that kindness, bring repentance. Does God's kindness lead you to repentance? It ought to. Boys and girls, Does kindness in your life lead you to repentance? It ought to. You know, sometimes, boys and girls, let me say this, and I remember this because I was a boy once, and I know what it's like to grow up. There are lots of times when we live as children and when we treat our parents in a way that's horrible. It's disobedient, it's rude, it's wrong. I'm not saying this just to accuse you. I'm saying this because I know, because I did it when I was growing up. But you know what's true? Your parents are still so kind to you, aren't they? They provide a place for you to live, food, clothes, love, prayers, the Word of God, kindness after kindness after kindness. That should make you think. That should soften your heart. I know there's a time for tough love. But even that should come with kindness. Kindness. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. He'll think about it. He'll think about it. There is, of course, the blessing of your own blessing. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a blessing in being kind. It brings blessing to your life, to live a life of kindness. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. But ultimately, the great benefit, the great outworking of kindness is the glory of God. The glory of God. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Love is kind, and when people in our society see Christians acting kindly to others, it is a way for us to point them to Jesus, to point them to God, to bring glory to the name of our Savior. Love is the fruit of the Spirit, and love is kind. You know, boys and girls, this morning I left you with a little acronym. An acronym are letters that refer to words. Do you remember what it was? NTBS. Not to be served. Not to be served. But this afternoon I learned another acronym. I learned a couple more, too, after the service. I learned another one. And I learned it from my wife. We're married almost 20 years. I'm still learning things every day about my wife. She, when she was young, she's embarrassed now hearing me say this. She said, "You're not going to use this illustration." I said, "Yeah, I am." On her notebooks at school, she used to write some letters when she was younger. She said, "You know, if you look up, if Grandma still has those notebooks somewhere, you can see that the letters are still written across there." These were the letters that were written. BKAAGC. Wasn't a very memorable, for any sense or anything. It's BKAAGC. Bakagak is how it's pronounced. But what does it mean? I thought it was fascinating. Be kind and a good Christian. That's what she wrote on all her notebooks at school to remind her about that. Be kind. And a good Christian. Because Christians are kind. They're really saying the same thing. A good Christian is kind. Do you know, we know it. I think we know it. We may desire to be kind. But love is kind. Edward says, the conclusive evidence of our being willing to do good to others is to do it. That's the evidence of being willing to do good to others, to do it. 1 Peter 2:3 says, the Lord is good. Christos. The Lord is kind. If we are his disciples, we must be kind as well. The only true kind of Christian is a kind Christian. Paul says in Romans 11:22, consider the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness.